And here we go. Welcome back to the Königsklasse Show with...
Michel.
Hey, Michel. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Especially how we met so last minute. Yeah.
Super cool. In St. Gallen.
In the Start Summit conference.
Yes. What is it?
So the Start Summit is a very nice conference. I think over 7,000 people there. Basically where students, investors and founders meet to exchange and learn more about what's happening. But in my case, most importantly, make sure we get funding.
So it's the greatest startup festival, founders festival from Switzerland, as I understand, in St. Gallen. Also, they have it here, Bits and Pretzels in Munich, right? Have you been there also?
Yeah, that's also great. Cool. It's a different type of event. Uh-huh. The one in St. Gallen is organized by students. Mm-hmm. And the one in Bits and Pretzels in Munich is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But they're both great. They're just different.
What do you do?
Now I'm a founder of a startup
in
circular economy. Mm-hmm. It's called Resicure. Mm-hmm. It's basically a startup that is helping the market to change, the recycling market to move. Mm-hmm. So we help the brand owners, companies like Beiersdorf or type like Beiersdorf, mm-hmm. to basically have access to recycled plastics they need for their packaging. They all want to buy, they all want to grow, uh-huh. but it's a hard time. And at the same time, we help the recyclers to use this demand we're bringing to them to invest and grow and recycle more.
Cool. How did you get the idea to do that?
Well, through client feedback. Mm-hmm. So our original idea was completely different. Our original idea was actually... Maybe one step back. We wanted to do something about plastic waste. Uh-huh. And our original idea was to create something like a carbon credit, but for plastics, uh-huh. that would, where the money would be used to actually incentivize recycling, uh-huh. infrastructure, recycling, and so on. And then a typical startup model, we call and reach out via LinkedIn cold call to more than 100 companies. Uh-huh. And by doing this, they all say, hey, cool idea, we like it very much, but... In our journey to reduce our plastic footprint, it's going to be our last mile. Mm-hmm. Now we need help with the real thing. We need help with actually getting access to quality recycled plastics, mm-hmm. because the market is not moving. It's super mm-hmm. hard for us. Mm-hmm. And when we heard that, mm-hmm. more than 100 companies saying basically the same, we said, okay, let's pivot. Let's change what we're doing and let's go after this problem.
And you asked 100 companies. That's 100%.
No, it's more than 100 companies, actually.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
So. We reach out to way more than that, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But we talk to companies like Beiersdorf mm-hmm. or Unilever, Colgate, Palmolive, Siemens, you name it. Yeah. And for more than 100 companies, we had this opportunity to talk once or twice. Mm-hmm. We basically say, this is our idea. What do you think about it? Mm-hmm. How do we go about it? Talk to Nestle and so on. Mm-hmm. And basically say, they told us the feedback that I gave you.
Cool.
We need help with the real thing. Yeah. And that's how we pivoted.
So you're somebody who's... bound to nature, who loves nature, obviously. Also, we're in the setting here.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Smart village, Bogenhausen. Yeah. Yeah. what is your hobby outdoors?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that I really love Munich now, it's hiking. Mm-hmm. Hiking, skiing, I really love that. Yeah, I would like. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have more time to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely that. And that's one of the things. So nature is very close to my life, to what I like.
Why?
And that's why this... Oh, I'm from Brazil, mm-hmm. and I think from there, from being there, for traveling, it's just something that was close to me, family-wise, mm-hmm. and that's also why plastic waste was a topic, mm-hmm. because this is something very close to you, like you talk about CO2 emissions and so on, mm-hmm. it's true, it's very scientific, but it's also very abstract, mm-hmm. but when you think about plastic waste, this is something you see, you generate yourself, and you see you can do something about it. And where you're in nature and you see waste laying out there, that's something very close to you. It's very easy to relate, mm-hmm. and also to understand why we need to do something about it.
Cool. But still, how is it to found a company for you?
Tough. Freaking tough.
Why?
Well, I am a different type of background. I have a different type of background than most people. So I actually have over 16 years time in a large corporation, B2B, doing all types of things. Yeah. From procurement, supply. not that young anymore, okay. unfortunately. And so mm-hmm. I was one of those guys that was across different functions in the company with a nice career, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Good money, security.
But you dropped it.
And I dropped it, yeah, 100%. And for me, it was a very clear, it was a point in time where I said, either I dropped it or I never do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very clear to me because, you know, I was in the senior management track. Oh. And once you get there, you don't really, it's very hard to get away from it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And corporate is great. I love the company that I worked for the 16 years. It's mm-hmm. an amazing company. But I want to do stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to create something. And I want to create something that has an impact. Mm-hmm.
So it was also the right timing to do that?
It was the timing to do that, yeah. So there was no other time to do, maybe earlier, yes, but it was the time. And it was not an easy decision, because think about it. If you create a startup right out of university, it is a big risk, but you don't have a lot to lose from what you have already built. But when you do this after 16 years of a corporate career, then suddenly from a salary, from your commitments, for what you can have, then it's a big, you put a lot of risk. Therefore, you have to be super convinced of what you're doing.
Was there some kind of biggest failure moment in your life which you can share with us?
Biggest failure moment in my life? There were too many.
The top failure. What do you want to talk about?
No, I don't think I have a top failure in mind that I would share, but I have many smaller ones. Yeah. It's from decisions I took in my career, right and left, how I behaved and what I learned at university. I mean, the university was great, but I could have made so much more out of it now that I look back. And now in the startup, it's every day. Every day I make a decision that I look back and say, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. But the nice thing about it is that every time I do this, I learn. Is it how I talk to a client, or how I talk to an investor, or how we gave direction to the team, or maybe didn't give enough direction to the to the team, and then we have a problem down the road. I make wrong decisions every day. But I learn from them, and I try not to repeat them, and I think that's a little bit the point.
So when you started to found a company or startup, did you do some research? Did you have a business plan in place?
Oh yeah. Okay. So that's something that being such a long time in corporate gives you some tools. It was not that I threw away everything that I used during this time. So there was a very good market analysis, a client need analysis, robust financial plan, Excel files with all the possible formulas you can imagine. Projection to 5 years. But what was very different from a corporate life that I had was because there's so much you don't know about a startup, it's so interactive that everything that you build, the fundamentals must be right. The key trends, the key numbers, they have to be correct. But the fine planning, the specifics on the next step and the one after and the one after, honestly, you can throw it out because every time you talk to a client or you see how a competitor is behaving, you have to step back and say, ooh, should we change course? Should we adapt? So this whole planning thing, yeah, we had all in place, but the amount of times I had to go back and change it, it's endless.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes. I don't know who said it, but it's true.
You also have kids, right?
I have two.
Wow.
I have two. I have a 5-year-old boy.
Already? Wow, nice.
Which is giving me a lot of trouble. And a 5-month one.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. Which is not giving me so much trouble for some reason. So I wasn't expecting that, to be honest.
Yeah, cool.
But doing that on top of a startup is, that's why I don't have so much time for hiking and other stuff.
How is it to be father and co-founder? Father and founder. How did you get that all? How do you manage to do that in one day?
Tough. Yeah. Okay. I don't have any solution for that. It was just tough. What I've learned is that I need to make time for my family. I have to because I want to. But I still need to do a lot for work, right? So the way I'm personally doing this is, for example, it's between 6 and 8. It's family time, you know. I have dinner with the kids. Yeah, I mean, if it's super important, yes. But in general terms, no. So I really try to stick to that. But then maybe I have to open the laptop again and work until later. It is what it is. I don't think there is a startup or a founder or an entrepreneur that works, 9 to 5. I don't know any, at least.
Do you think if technology goes on the way it does and we have these glasses on, you can look through into the entire room, but still you have your apps to open to work? Do you think that will be easier working because you can do both at the same time? You're a multitask king or not?
No. In the beginning, I thought that I was great at multitasking. And then I realized that multitasking is BS. Really is. Because your brain can only do one thing well at a time. You might have a lot of things open, but you can only focus at one thing at a time if you want to do it well. So I think those glasses, AR and all those things, they are great for productivity, mm-hmm. for some things like, I don't know, maybe virtual meetings. Mm-hmm. It's really great. Or if you're in an airplane and you want to, you know, have a big screen for you to work or to watch a movie, this is really great. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the multitasking aspect of it is bringing much. Mm-hmm. Because we as people, you know, we need to focus if we want to do something nice.
What are the two top tips you would give your former self?
I think one would be try it earlier. Mm-hmm. Just try it. If I look back and I think, okay, I benefit a lot from the time I had before mm-hmm. in corporate world. That was good. Mm-hmm. But I could have tried earlier. And I think I would have benefited from that. Mm-hmm. And I would have more time to adapt to the mindset of a startup and failed and learned and failed and learned more. Mm-hmm. And the other one, maybe have kids a little bit earlier.
Earlier?
Earlier, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Because the thing is about kids is... Mm-hmm. I'm super happy that I have them late, mm-hmm. late-ish, because I could do everything I wanted that is not easy with kids beforehand.
You're like 40-something or...?
I am 40, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I had a kid with 35, and until mm-hmm. then, I traveled, I went to Trans-Siberian, all over Europe, Latin America and so on. So I did everything I wanted to, a traveling party and all that. Uh-huh. And then when I was coming to the point where I was already, hey, it's fine not to do those things anymore. I started to become the older guy in those events, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the point in time when I also had kids, so kind of fit well. But at the same time, it makes life a bit shorter for you to have more kids. So that's why I would have maybe a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. earlier 30s, that would be probably better.
Do you think time is rolling faster now, somehow?
I have less time. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. Especially because I don't think it's related to age. I think it's related to point in time in life. So I have kids, and it's not that kids are something that are eating my time. It's that I want to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. It's different, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to make time for my kids, and therefore I give up other things. Yeah, and that's fine, because it's my decision to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's not that time is going faster. It's just that I have my own priorities, and therefore some things I cannot do or not do as much as I would like to. Mm-hmm.
So do you do today what you wanted to become when you were a kid, yourself?
I had no idea what I wanted to become as a kid, you know? An astronaut or no idea. Mm-hmm. What I always knew is that I didn't want to become a doctor mm-hmm. because my mother is a doctor. Mm-hmm. And when she tells me stories about the hospital and, you know, mm-hmm. surgeries, mm-hmm. it was like, no, not for me. Yeah. My brother the same. But I just knew, and that's maybe why I made this jump, I always knew that I wanted to do something different, mm-hmm. that I wanted to try something different. And that the typical corporate career, despite being great, mm-hmm. eventually was not going to be enough. So this I always knew since I was a kid. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But exactly what, it's hard to tell.
So your mother's proud of you today? What does she feel about you now? If I would ask her.
I think she will be proud. Mm-hmm. She is proud of me, yes. but I think she's concerned. Mm-hmm. Because her son, her oldest son now, mm-hmm. who had a nice career, was sent mm-hmm. to Germany by the company and had leadership position and all that, suddenly is risking not having any money, mm-hmm. any salary, anything for the future. Okay. So she's definitely concerned, mm-hmm. but I am not. So that's the important part.
So your tip would be like, be risky and try out things and don't be too afraid.
No.
No?
No, that would not be my tip. My tip would be take calculated risks. Mm-hmm. Don't jump into something. Mm-hmm. I mean, jump into something, but know what you're jumping into. Mm-hmm. Understand the market. Understand if you have good chances, mm-hmm. if the market is good enough, if you have the right people, the right skills. Mm-hmm. And if yes, if you tick those boxes, mm-hmm. jump. Don't hesitate.
Cool.
But don't just jump because maybe it's the wrong jump. Mm-hmm.
So when we started this Königsklasse movement, nobody knew what it was, what it should be. Yeah. And now somehow these things crack up and now everybody understands, okay, it's a cool thing for young people to have a window into the future and into the economy of today. So thank you very much being here.
Hey, it was really nice talking to you.
Super cool.
Have a good time.
Thank you.